maybe diversification of Southern Nevada's economy away from its reliance on gaming isn't so bad after all. The region welcomed more than 3,400 new non-gaming jobs last fiscal year. Among the companies hiring were Barclaycard, R.W. Garcia, and Flower Foods, which rescued the old Hostess facility in Henderson. Most of these opportunities were warehouse and customer service jobs. They're jobs with modest hourly wages, but they fall short of the higher-paying jobs in healthcare and other industries that the region lacks. Joining us now to discuss Clark County's job growth and economic potential is Jonas Peterson. He is Chief Operating Officer with the Las Vegas Global Economic Alliance. Jonas, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
Your organization, the Las Vegas Global Economic Alliance, says it helped establish just over 3,400 jobs in Clark County in the 2013-14 fiscal year. So are we back to pre-recession job growth, or do we have more to do?
So I think there's a lot of good news there. First, if you look at the growth in just the amount of jobs assisted through the Las Vegas Global Economic Alliance and our partners, and it's important to keep those partners in mind because it's really a team effort throughout the community that makes it possible. But that number of job growth has tripled through our organization over the past 12 months. Nearly tripled, I should say. More than doubled, nearly tripled. And so we're seeing significant upward growth that I think reflects not only the improving economy, but a community that's come together around a shared economic development strategy and an organization that has grown rapidly over the last year and a half.
What's the economic impact of these 3,400 plus jobs?
Over 3,412 jobs, economic impact, $578 million.
So what are some of the obstacles that Southern Nevada is facing when it comes to economic development?
So here's a big one that I don't know has gotten enough play in our community. It's the lack of large industrial space, existing product for potential businesses that want to relocate here. So let me give you some background. We commissioned a study about 3 months ago with RCG Economics, and that study surveyed leaders in our real estate community, brokers, developers. Together, their information showed that we missed out on up to 151 businesses last year that represented 18,000 jobs. Companies that wanted to be here expressed different levels of interest. Some of them actually said flat out, we'll come to Southern Nevada if you have the existing industrial space. And this is 100,000 up to 1 million square feet. We are behind in that game. And while we are behind, other areas are moving forward with millions of square feet of spec development to capture that market. Many of those companies want to be here. If we can get that development occurring, we'll capture many more jobs.
When you say large industrial space, this is in effect, it's buildings ready to be moved into? Or what is it? Help us understand what large industrial space is in this case.
Keep in mind, these clients, we can build anything here. And we've got, we're known for that, being able to put stuff up and put it up fairly quickly. That's an advantage for us. But what many of these clients are telling us is, hey, we can go to multiple locations. Because of our business needs, we need to move quickly. So we need a space that an existing large industrial building zoned correctly with transportation access, infrastructure in place, building up and ready to move into or ready to move into within a period of 3 to 5 months. Those clients, when that's not available, then they are forced to look at other markets. If you look at the big projects that are coming through site selection right now, they want, really demand, pre-existing infrastructure, buildable sites, transportation access, and product, buildings that are either constructed or are pre-permitted so that they can be constructed really fast. And that's what the market is telling us they want. I think in this case, the customer is right, and we need to deliver that product.
In your report, you highlighted Barclaycard, Flower Foods, Bodybuilding.com, R.W. Garcia, all good companies, but they're warehouse or customer service jobs. Are those the easiest companies to attract to Las Vegas?
I would say, the good news and bad news of Southern Nevada, I think, is that if you look at our operating environment, our tax climate, it's attractive to a wide range of industries. And I think that's reflected in the deal flow that we see at LVGEA and our economic development partners see. There's a mix, but there's also trends emerging. And we put a lot of effort into targeting the industries that we think are going to deliver the most bang for the buck in our economy moving forward. And there's some great news there. If you look at the UAS industry on the horizon, expected to create thousands of jobs, even in our existing work over the past 12 months, you've got an emerging technology, business IT ecosystem cluster that's picking up steam in Southern Nevada. Many of those are well above the average wage. And if you look at the overall mix of companies that we worked with, we actually beat that state average wage as well.
Are we too eager to attract the lower wage, $14, $15 an hour job? Or are those the only companies we're qualified to go after to get them to move here?
I think if you look at where our economy is, I would argue that we need to place emphasis on quantity of jobs and quality of jobs. Our unemployment rate, although it's been coming down fairly quickly, although we're creating jobs at a rate that is pretty high, we're still mid 7% unemployment rate. So we need a high quantity of jobs right now. Now, if that unemployment rate dips down a lot lower, then I think the focus of our policy at all levels should shift to higher quality jobs, and we can be more selective. But right now, I think we really need to pursue both.
It sounds like right now you're thinking the quantity is the more important of the two at this point.
I would put an equal emphasis on both. So we target, and we are seeing those high industry clusters emerging, business and IT ecosystems, UAS, the unmanned aerial systems is on the horizon. There's others. But at the same time, when we have opportunities to be competitive with high job count industries, for instance, you mentioned Barclaycard, Asurion, each 800, 1,000 jobs at a shot. And it's notable that within their industry, they're bumping up the wages for those type of employees compared to what we've seen in the past. So you're making progress in an industry where they're moving up the chain in terms of salaries. And we're getting 1,000 people employed and back to work. So we think that's good news for the economy.
You spoke a few moments ago of a lack of what you call large industrial space. There's not a lot of that in the Las Vegas Valley. But I suspect if you talked with a lot of people, they would say the key issue is education. Isn't the lack of an educated workforce a big problem in making us more competitive with states like California and Arizona?
I think we've got pockets of excellence in our educational system that are doing really well. And there is a series of testimonials, companies that have met or exceeded their educational requirements through our existing system. Now, that said, in order for us to be competitive, in order for us to be that global city of the future, we need to improve that entire product line. It's going to cost money. But we do. We need to improve our educational system. I think there's some of that effort is already underway. It's K through 12. It's higher ed. It's aligning them with our target industries so that we have an entire system that works together.
So if you had that money to spend right now, would you go to kind of expanding the pockets or maybe helping to create a better educated workforce overall? Or would you go for the large industrial spaces as a first priority?
I don't know that they're mutually exclusive. I think there's two different communities. So if you look at the industrial space, I think part of solving that problem doesn't require money necessarily. Also, I think there's a profit motive in it for our developers, and we're starting to see some of those spec projects take off. The investment, I think, from the public sector probably needs to be more focused on education because, that's the revenue source tied to that world. On the industrial side, we need the private sector to really step up, work with our local governments and make that happen.
All right. So as you look in the crystal ball and look maybe 10 years ahead, in what ways do you think Southern Nevada will look different?
Southern Nevada could and should be a powerhouse within the Southwest of the United States. I've had the opportunity to work in economic development groups in Arizona and California, and there's recognition from business leaders, from government leaders, I think across our region that when Las Vegas really emerges, when Las Vegas really takes advantage of the strategic assets that we have here, it can and should be that hub of business activity. I think that's where we're going. So you're talking about a community that's globally competitive, that has the transportation infrastructure, the connectivity, the education system to make that happen. I think you'll see us continue to be an entertainment hub as our primary industry, but diversifying in additional industries.
Jonas Peterson is Chief Operating Officer with the Las Vegas Global Economic Alliance. Jonas Peterson, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.